Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The National Transportation Safety Board held hearings last week aimed at finding ways to curb Alaska's rash of fatal airplane crashes. KYUK's Johanna Urich reports.
The fatal Raven air crash near Togiak last fall was the focus of the investigative hearing. Sitting in the audience was Raven's new CEO, Dave Flieger.
My focus has been and always will be on safety, and this is now my fourth airline as a CEO. And it's the very first thing I do is focus on safety when I get in a company.
The changes Haglin Aviation Services has put into effect since last fall's crash of the Raven Connect plane it operated appeared to be well received by members of the National Transportation Safety Board and its inquiry committee. But it's clear there'll be additional recommendations when the investigation is completed. The NTSB wants its report to help build a case to improve Alaska's aviation infrastructure, to bring it closer to the kind of weather services and instrument flying capacities found in the lower 48. In Anchorage, I'm Johanna Urich.
Fire damaged a South Fairbanks commercial building yesterday. According to a city press release, the fire was in a South Cushman Street building occupied by McKinley Countertops. It's the former location of the Reflection Strip Club. The city says the fire was discovered by a police officer at 5 a.m. Sunday. Several departments responded and brought the blaze under control. The city says one person inside the building got out safely. The cause of the fire is under investigation. It's the second location of a former strip club to burn this month in Fairbanks. The Showboat building in West Fairbanks was destroyed by fire August 3rd. Meanwhile, the University of Alaska Fairbanks is investigating a fire that broke out last night in a construction storage area. A UAF alert says the fire was located behind UAF's Nenana parking lot and extinguished at about 9 p.m. The university says no one was hurt in the fire. Mixed eclipse viewing conditions are forecast across the interior this morning. National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Berg says the clouds and showers, which have predominated over the last week, are forecast to continue for the Fairbanks area.
The best chance we have would be if we get some kind of a little break in the clouds.
Berg says a low-pressure system in the Gulf of Alaska continues to spin moisture up over a portion of the interior, but there is a better chance of seeing the eclipse west of Fairbanks.
From basically Manly Hot Springs southeast, we're going to see mostly cloudy to cloudy conditions. To the west and northwest of Manly Hot Springs, they have a fair chance of seeing the eclipse today, actually even a good chance in the middle Yukon Valley around Galena, Ruby, Caltech, those areas over there.
Eclipse viewing events are still planned for the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the Nolwenn Library downtown this morning. As KUAC's Robert Hannon reports, a viewing instrument trained on the sun won't be affected by overcast skies.
UAF physicist Jeannie Talbot opens up a lab in the Reichardt building and points to a heavy metal tube held upright by a makeshift but sturdy stand. Perched atop the pole sits a metal hoop.
This is the radio telescope stand right here. These bolt places hold the sails on it to make the big dish.
Talbot says unlike visual telescopes, the radio telescope isn't hampered by heavy cloud cover. While our eyes rely on the visual bandwidth of light, light scattered by clouds, the radio telescope is trained to pick up one narrow band of hydrogen emission sent by the sun, a sun largely made up of hydrogen.
As the moon starts to eclipse the sun, we expect that intensity to go down. So what we're going to see from the radio telescope is a drop in intensity of the hydrogen emission line.
Talbot admits that what her instrument will show won't be as visually dramatic as viewing the eclipse with the eye, but she says she enjoys the opportunity of sharing a glimpse of a wider, more intriguing universe than most of us usually see.
It just makes us more aware of our astronomical existence.
This morning, the radio telescope and several optical telescopes outfitted with special filters will be on hand outside the Reichardt building on the UAF campus from 8 to 10:15 a.m. There will also be special glasses donated by the National Park Service. If those run out, the UA Museum of the North is also offering viewing glasses donated by NASA. And for those wanting a comfortable seat at the event, inside the Reichardt building, attendees can view a live feed from Oregon. For folks downtown, the Nolwenn Library is also offering the live feed from 8 to 12:30 p.m. in Fairbanks. I'm Robert Hannon.
The North Pole City Council tonight considers awarding a contract to an engineering company to develop a plan to protect the community's groundwater from contamination. The mayor says the plan is needed to ensure the city will be able to expand the municipal water system to areas where groundwater is already contaminated. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
North Pole Mayor Bryce Ward says the ordinance before the council would award a nearly $29,000 contract to PDC engineers to develop a so-called source water protection plan. The plan would, among other things, enable the city to regulate use of land around the two wells that supply water for its 600 municipal system customers.
Appropriate for houses to have private water wells, you know, adjacent to or near those wells? Or is it appropriate for those to have septic systems close by to those wells?
Ward says developing the plan is an important step the city needs to take now because the owners of the vacant land around the wells want to develop it. And he says the city wants to place limits on the kinds of development that could be done there to ensure it won't harm groundwater.
Right now, I think the primary desire for that area is residential. So, you know, do we allow private water wells and private septic systems, or do you require that any development in that area be connected to a municipal system?
The mayor says the source water protection plan also is an important step the city needs to take before it expands its system next year into areas where the groundwater already has been contaminated with the industrial solvent sulfalane. The substance leaked for years from the now shut down Flint Hills Resources oil refinery.
The sulfalane project will almost double our existing customer base. So instead of 600, we potentially could have 1,200 or more customers.
Ward says work on the first two phases of that expansion project would be built next year and phases 3 and 4 in 2019. Flint Hills has agreed to pay 80% of the cost of that system, which is estimated at about $100 million. The state would pay the remaining 20%. Ward says the city may also end up extending its water system to Moose Creek if the Air Force chooses that option for dealing with groundwater contamination in that area caused by Eielson Air Force Base.
The Air Force has to decide what they would like to do with that, and then they also have to find funding.
If the Air Force does agree to expand the North Pole water system to Moose Creek, Ward says he expects work on that system wouldn't begin until 2020 at the earliest. The mayor says anyone interested in offering comments on the Source Water Protection Plan ordinance will have two opportunities at tonight's meeting and the next one on September 4th when the council will consider final approval. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.